Good, dreary, dank, gloomy, murky, soupy Thursday morning. I just said that on Tuesday, right? Well, it's Thursday anyway. Maybe it's not quite as dreary, dank, and soupy. Could be that tomorrow, for sure. But we're ready for the extended sporting weekend. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Light the Tower on the Horn, 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260. We're live, local, and digital on the Horn app and at hornfm.com. My name is Craig Way. I thank you so much for joining us, joined by my co-host, the pride of Northwest Williamson County, a proud graduate of Florence High School.
Always thankful to my parents for settling in that Fairburg and not the one some 13 miles to the east down 487.
The one down the road that's preparing for the playoffs while Florence will be putting away the equipment after tomorrow night. But that's another story anyway. You know him best for his outstanding work at Horns 24/7.
Don't let facts get in the way of a good story, Craig.
I just felt like I needed to be a little bit balanced on that deal, you know, with Gerald, because Gerald is going to be in the playoffs. In fact,
they're
playing for third place tonight, which will be a part of our Whataburger Top 5 just coming up in a few moments. But you know Jeff for his outstanding work at Horns 24/7. You know our erstwhile producer for his tremendous work and the fact that he is the purveyor of all good things Flex ATX, because after all, in the final analysis, it's Flex. He's Jonathan John Donaldson, J. Donaldson. We know him as Snoop Daniel. How you doing, Snoop?
I'm preparing to be emotional, super emotional.
Okay, now, are you preparing to be emotional because of what?
It's the final games
for the regular season,
many
right?
People,
yeah.
I mean, kids I've been covering since like fresh out of junior high, and you know, and these kids are the pre-COVID kids who like Zed Alexander was right before like COVID.
That's right. And Cedric Alexander of LBJ stands 66 yards away from being the all-time career leading rusher in AIST history. Has a chance to break that record tonight against the Crockett Cougars down at Burger Stadium. You can hear that broadcast on 105.3 The Bat. We'll have it for you. Pregame coverage beginning at 7:15. Now, Snoop is actually going to go out there for a while anyway to chronicle some of that on video, right? For Flex.
Yes, and we just dropped the homecoming visuals, flxatx.com.
Nice.
Go check that out. Kind of as a precursor to tonight, kind of, you know, LBJ in the building. They deserve the shine, and we're happy to give it.
And it's Crockett's final home game tonight for the Cougars down at Burger. So you'll hear that on 105.3 The Bat. And coming up here in just a few moments, we'll have our Whataburger top five road trips of the weekend. Yes, there are ties. We have that. And then one team that doesn't really have to worry about a tie, especially if they handle their business tonight, are the Vandegrift Vipers, who are looking for the perfect district regular season and an outright 25-6A district title as they take on Westwood tonight at the Palace on Parmer. Vipers head coach Drew Sanders will join us a little later on this half hour for our weekly conversation. We also have a Longhorn notebook that Jeff will have one this hour, one next hour. What about this hour? What do we got cooking?
If I can stop sneezing, we'll just run down some news notes and nuggets from our insider at Horns 24/7 that was posted this morning.
Okay. All right. So good. So we're getting to that before or after our conference. I'm trying to remember. I can remember. I know we alter it depending on the day in the interview and things like that. What are we doing today?
It's up to you. I don't know. I don't care. Doesn't matter.
Okay.
Your nasal
nuggets. However we can squeeze it in.
I'll tell you what. Let's do it afterwards, because before we get to the Whataburger Top 5, I got to get the reaction from both of you. Last night, I'm up at the baseball history. It's the first combined no-hitter in World Series history.
Yes, it was.
The second overall no-hitter in World Series history. Of course, Don Larsen, a perfect game, October 8, 1956. Yankees-Dodgers at Yankee Stadium. But last night, you had Christian Javier and the Astros bullpen.
Yep.
No hit the Philadelphia Phillies, and a five-run fifth makes the difference for the Stros, highlighted by an Alex Bregman double. Astros win it 5-0. It was interesting, and I think appropriate, to hear Robert Ford's call, the Astros play-by-play voice, the network radio call, and even Joe Buck on the telecast all mention. First and foremost, I'm thinking about Joe Buck. Joe Davis. I said Joe Buck. Joe Davis might have said, gets a no-hitter, but then he quickly said, and the World Series is tied. And that's what the other guys were talking about, because the bigger import on this is that the series is now tied 2 games apiece.
Yep.
Pretty much a must-win for the Astros last night.
And will go back to Houston.
Yeah, it ensures that the series will be back in Houston for Game 6 on Friday night or Saturday night, and of course Game 5 is tonight, so that's crucial.
Christian Javier was outstanding last night. I think what is it? He's allowed 2 hits and I think 12 2/3 innings in the postseason.
He's been tremendous. He's been
just outstanding doesn't even begin to describe it. But I was happy finally to see the offense break through.
Yeah.
When they did, and they got some guys on base. I was one of the guys that was screaming at the TV.
Were you screaming
for Jeremy Pena to bunt, and you know, not bunting, not showing bunt on strike on first pitch, and then you know, fouling one off on an 0-1 count. But he gets on base. Jordan Alvarez gets plunked. Bregman breaks it open. So just good to see that offense come alive, Craig, after not doing much of anything in Game 3.
Yeah, it's a very good point there. All right, so. So we definitely needed to mention that. Clearly, it was important to mention the Astros are
drawn
even.
Obviously, I want the Astros to win. I hope Game 5 is a tighter game. We have back-to-back blowouts now.
Yeah, it's been kind of lopsided. And even Game 2, the Astros were largely in control of that one.
Yeah, I love high leverage sports. Period. You know, like playoff hockey is awesome. Playoff basketball, where every possession counts. Obviously, playoff football. I want some high-leverage baseball where you're on the edge of your seat every pitch.
I like it. I like it. I would have thought that maybe just you as an Astros fan would take it any way you could get it. And
oh, for no doubt. No doubt. You know. But, I want people to be invested in the World Series. I want people to tune in. And, you know, when it's 5-0 and the game is over and the Astros pitching the way they were, people probably tuned out or went to the whatever Mac game was on ESPN last night.
It was Bowling Green. And Western Michigan, watched.
Well, there you go.
Little bits of that. Flip it over during commercial break, and even Northern Illinois and Central Michigan. Just keeping up with it. I remember when I used to do Longhorn Weekly with Mac Brown. We would do it in his conference room, and he wanted that Maction game on a monitor in there. he wanted to have it on there. So whatever game was on, we had it on while that was going on. So
Snoop, you being the seam head you are you enjoying some World Series right now?
I guess so. I haven't really watched a lot of it.
No. All right, big game tonight, but obviously a lot of us are tied up with high school football, which brings us to our Whataburger Top 5.
Now, it's time for the Whataburger Top 5.
Okay, prepare to receive.
Today's edition.
Here we go.
Top 5 road trips.
Okay, as we like to mention, the challenge of the road trip is more than just the bus ride. It's more than just the distance. In fact, quite often it might not be far at all to travel. Might be even going to a stadium that on a different given night is your home stadium. But it's the road mentality, the mindset, as well as sometimes the distance that goes into it, which, by the way, Snoop, brings us to a three-way tie at number 5.
Oh, yes.
For our water. I knew you'd be on board with this.
3.
All right. For different reasons, okay? Here's your different reasons. Buoy at Lake Travis. Now, this game has absolutely no bearing on the playoffs at all.
Word.
None. Zero. Nada. Both are going. Buoy will be in the Division II bracket as the runner-up to Dripping Springs. Lake Travis will be in the Division I bracket as the runner-up to Westlake. One of these two teams is going to play the team that our guest, who joins us in a few minutes, is the head coach of in the bi-district round next week. Vandegrift. Either Buoy or Lake Travis, depending on whether Vandegrift goes Division I or Division II, which we've chronicled at length. That all comes down to if Vista Ridge and Manor both get into the playoffs and Vandegrift goes Division I and they would play Lake Travis. If it's Cedar Ridge and either Vista Ridge or Manor, then Vandegrift would go Division II and play Buoy. But this is about momentum and trying to get some forward momentum into the playoffs, and for Buoy, because again, these are road trips, and from the road mentality for Buoy, it's an important ball club for ball game for Coach Abel's ball club to try to see if they can have some real forward momentum going into the playoffs. Because they're going to have a tough by-district opponent no matter who they faced.
Yeah, and we talked about it with Hank Carter on Tuesday, just his team starting to maybe get some things together. And I know Snoop had even mentioned that the ceiling is high for this group, and maybe there's still some really good football for Lake Travis to be played before this thing is over.
Bowie is going to wind up playing either Vandegrift or Manor in the bi-district round, so it's an important game for them. Regard Lake Travis is going to wind up either playing Vandegrift or Round Rock in the bi-district round. So anyway, there's that. The other team's tied at number five. Here you go, Jeff. It's Gerald and Lago Vista, and it's tonight. They moved it forward, so that game is going to be tonight. Gerald last week won the win in your end game against Manor New Tech. Now beat Lago Vista, and they finished third in the district there. So you could avoid perhaps a bi-district meeting with Divine, who's pretty good. So that's an important one there. And the other tie at number five, okay, Stu, Lockhart at Kerrville Tybee.
Don't ever say we don't talk about the Lockhart Lions on this show.
Speaking of Lockhart, by the way, ball don't lie. At the brand new Terry Blacks in Lockhart today.
How about that?
They're out there this afternoon. So Lockhart and Kerrville Tybee, again, a chance to rise up further in the playoff pecking order there. Number four is Manor at Stony Point. Now,
monster game.
The one thing that cannot happen for Manor is to lose the football game. They lose and they're out. They lose, they're out. It's as simple as that. If they win, they're probably in. But I have to say probably, because it could come down to point differentials. And also if Vista Ridge should pull a shocker and beat Round Rock. So that's why I say probably, but not for sure, even if they win. But if they lose, definitely out. So big game for them at Stony tomorrow
night.
That's
my one.
That's your one?
Mm-hmm.
I got a one that'll top that.
Okay.
Okay? Because we know Stony Point will not be going to the playoffs. Manor might be.
It's true.
All right? Number three, Rouse at Elgin. This is for playoff positioning. Winner of this game will finish no lower than third. In the case of Elgin and Rouse, they could finish second. Rouse can finish second if they win by 10 or more, and Waco U loses to Belton, like most expect to happen.
Yeah.
So that's what the Raiders would need. An Elgin win locks them in at the two spot there. So that's important. There's playoff ramifications there. Number two, Cedar Park at Georgetown. Big, big game there, because you're talking about finishing as high as number two or as low as number four. And so that's crucial for both of these teams. Both these teams hot going into the game. Speaking of hot, did you see Georgetown's helmets they were wearing?
It's
different than the silver with the navy blue G like the Georgia or Green Bay. That's what they've been wearing in games. But did you see what they were sporting?
Yes.
In practice?
The parents love the kids, and they make them look good. Look good, play good.
It's a lighter blue with G-Town on the side.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
They are so swaggy, their baseball team will wear a misspelt Georgetown jersey.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
They take care of those kids.
Yeah. So anyway, it's Georgia, and then Cedar Park has won three in a row since starting 1-5, and so they're going into the playoffs. The issue will be how can they continue that going. All right, Snoop. Number one road trip of the week. It should be in tomorrow, because I won't be here tomorrow. I'll be traveling up north, so it'll be you for the top five matchups. Okay. This definitely has to be in your top five. I'm not saying you have to put it number one, but it should be in your top five. Burnett at Taylor.
Yep.
Win and you're in for both. A lot of green on that field tomorrow night at the Ducks' new ballpark.
I would love to go to that game.
Win and you're in. It's that simple. Lose, you do like Jeff Howe's Florence Buffaloes, and you put the equipment away after tomorrow night. So you've got this on the eastern side of Williamson County, not the western side. So Burnett, and for Burnett, they got to do it on the road, see?
At the pond.
Yeah. They've got to make that drive straight down 29 through Georgetown, through Jonah, and on across.
Jonah?
Get over to Granger.
You ever been through Jonah?
No.
Yeah. going over there to...
I've been inebriated in Jonah before. That's a story for another day.
Wow, didn't know that one. Okay. All right, so there it is.
Jonah. That's your book title.
That's and there's your Whataburger Top 5 Road Trips of the Week. Bowie at Lake Travis, Lago Vista at Gerald, Lockhart at Kerrville Tivy, Rouse at Elgin, Maynard at Stony Point, Cedar Park at Georgetown, Burnett at Taylor. And I would imagine some, if not most, of those games will be on Snoop's top five matchups of the week, especially since a lot of games are getting moved to Thursday.
Yeah.
So you're going to have to kind of pick out one.
Will there be more?
Could be. Well, I would say by now probably not. Okay. Those that have already been moved to Thursday probably all set in stone. I don't think they'd move them at this point.
Is there any kind of rhyme or reason? Or like, is it area?
Yeah, lots of rhyme and reason to it. Worried about storms and high winds and safety of
folks.
And
if it's a game that needs to be completed, you don't want to be playing that thing on Saturday.
Yeah, that's the other side of that. That's the other side. So something to keep in mind. All right, up next, we're going to visit with Drew Sanders, head coach of the Vandegrift Vipers, to talk about their matchup. They already had their game scheduled for tonight on the road at Westwood. And so we'll visit with Coach Sanders to talk about his team trying to close out the regular season with a perfect district record and winning that district title outright and then getting ready for the playoffs. So we'll go to that. And later on in our Flex 30 update next hour, we'll have the list of the games that have been moved, the full list that have been moved from Friday to tonight. So we'll get to that coming up. This is Light the Tower on the Horn, 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260. We're live, local, and digital on the Horn app and hornfm.com.
B&E.
And she says it's a medical condition she has. Severe pain in the chest, you know, angina.
Oh, yeah.
Severe chest pain, but apparently it's banned. You can't take it because it increases in...
Got a lot to get to. We'll have a Longhorn Notebook with Jeff coming up. We do have Inconceivable as well, which includes a fast food note for Snoop, since he is the fast food prince or king, whatever. We have a lot to get to on the program. And speaking of a lot, just to let you know, our good friend and weekly guest, Greg Tepper, the managing editor of Dave Campbell's Texas Football Magazine, and one of the co-hosts, along with me and Aaron Hartigan, on Bally Sports Southwest High School Scoreboard Live on Friday night, just tweeted out, I believe, that there are now 230 games being moved from Friday to tonight across the entire state of Texas because of the anticipation of inclement weather, really inclement weather. So 230 games. I don't know that that many would happen if this weren't the final week of the regular season and some playoff spots on the line and all the other kind of stuff. But it is happening. Now, one game that was already scheduled for Thursday is tonight's game at the Kelly Reeves Athletics Complex. Vandegrift against Westwood, and we're pleased to have our weekly conversation brought to you by our good friends at Texas Truck and Trailer with the head coach of the Vandegrift Vipers, Drew Sanders, who I would imagine is very happy it was originally scheduled for Thursday night. Am I right about that?
Yeah, I am. You know, I was excited to see that on the schedule because that just gives us an extra day of prep for playoffs. And I don't mind Thursday games. You know, I kind of grew up as a head coach playing Thursday games a ton in Austin ISD and figured out what a routine looked good and that kind of schedule. And so it's been great for us to play Thursdays.
Yeah, I mean, the benefits kind of outweigh the disadvantage. It's a little bit of a little tighter, prep time on your ramp up to it. But then afterwards, no matter who you play, no matter what the deal is, then you've got that extra day and a chance to get some other work in.
You do. You as a coach have to make sure that you don't overload your kids with, you know, a little less prep time. So your checks and your calls and all the little things that you're going to try to do each week just need to be a little bit dumbed down, and then you'll be fine.
You had a little bit of a rivalry matchup with Vista Ridge last week. Your guys came out on fire, ready to go. You got some early stops and got your offense really in gear. How pleased were you with that 34-0 shutout you had?
You know, it was more difficult, actually, than the final score indicated. Vista Ridge is a much improved program. They played us really well the first quarter. It was 0-0 at the first quarter, and then our offense got on track. They have a good defense. They really do. And fortunately, our defense was able to stop them and early. And then we got 21-0 by half. And so we were able to take advantage of some opportunities we had. And it's always good to beat a rival. You know, it's one of our longest rivals. That and Cedar Park are the only two schools we've played, you know, the whole time we've been in a school. So it was a good victory for sure.
Drew, I know we talked about just defensive philosophy last week, but your defense after that shutout, you're only giving up about a little less than eight points a game this season. And I know you've had good defenses there before, but what's your take just on your defense right now, given that the district you play in, you play teams that can run the football, that have some speed, that play with physicality. Just your take on kind of the progression of your defense through these nine ball games.
Well, I'll tell you, I always expect us to have a solid defense, but I'm surprised myself. You know, we replaced nine starters or eight and a half, however you want to look at it. And so early, like against Dripping Springs, we were just trying to figure ourselves out. Who were our starters? Who, you know, what could people do well and not? You know, with only having spring and then that one scrimmage, we really didn't know. It was funny. I was talking to my staff this summer, and it was the first time I went into a beginning of the year scrimmage without knowing who all 11 of my starters were. To now, you kind of have settled into who your guys are and who's rotating in and that kind of stuff. But overall, I've been pleased with our physicality of our defense. I've been pleased with our development in the secondary, where they can run. We really pride ourselves on running multiple things and running multiple things well. And I think they are really smart, and they've done a good job of being, for the most part, where they're supposed to be. And then the biggest thing about playing good defense is you got to play really, really hard. And I think our guys are doing that.
Coach, I wanted to ask about two seniors who aren't like the wide receiver one or running back one, but Reese Trevino at running back, and then Ray Middleton, who had a really nice game last week.
He did. You know, both of those guys, I mean, those kind of guys are just what I think our program's built on. We have a large senior class every year. Every year somebody will ask me how many seniors, and each year we have about 45 seniors. And everybody's like, man, well, next year's going to be rough. I'm like, no, I had 45 the year before that, 44 the year before that, you know. And so we have guys that wait their entire time to get playing time. Either they were backups as juniors on varsity, or they were on JV. And both of those guys now have key roles for us on this year's team. And I think we've just got a great culture of kids knowing they have to wait their turn, and they're okay with that, and they're going to keep developing. And last night we have a bunch. We went 10-0 in our JV A last night again. I think that's our fourth or fifth year in a row we've been 10-0 with our best JV team. And those guys enjoy winning, and then they come up and then help us win the next year on varsity. So I'm proud of Rajon. He had an amazing game, caught two touchdowns. And then Reese has been there anytime we need him all year.
You know, I've always thought that an interesting dynamic, and I asked Coach Salazar about it yesterday as well, the thing about seniors first year on varsity. And I have my own personal experience with my son, because he had just earned as a junior an opportunity to play on varsity, and then had a knee injury in the going into the final practice and before things got going, and then wound up having a recovery, had knee surgery and all that kind of stuff, and he had to fight and work hard just to get back to varsity his senior year. But he worked really hard, and what I discovered is that there's a lot of guys that, like you said, waited their turn, understood the dynamic, and didn't give up on it. And they might be a senior and it's their first time on varsity, but they relish the moment and they really work hard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they actually, they work hard, they get there, and they actually impact the team, whether through their role as encourager or on the field. You know, we have this wall, I've talked about it, I think, one time last year, but we call it True Viper, where we recognize a young man that was on JV as a junior and then an all-district player as a senior, and now we keep count of that, and we've had about 15 to 16 guys in our young history that go from JV to becoming an all-district type player. And so I think that also encourages kids to stick with it, because maybe they can do that.
Visiting with Drew Sanders, head coach of the Vandegrift Vipers, whose Vipers play tonight against Westwood, which you can hear on 101.9 and AM 1260 over at Kelly Reeves tonight.
Drew, let's talk about Westwood. When you watch the film, what stands out to you?
their running game. You know, that sounds surprising to say that about Westwood, but they typically like to air it out, you know. But they are doing what good staffs and good schools do. They've got their strengths, and they're playing to them. And so they have two really nice running backs. And so they are just feeding them the ball and doing a great job. They have a huge offensive lineman. They kind of run behind him. He also plays some defense. But that is what they're doing well, man. They are running the ball well, tempoing you some. They still have some of their passing game they've always kind of been known for. But that's what I think they're doing well. And then they are improved defensively too. And so they, if you look at all their scores, they've won some district games, but the ones they haven't, they're all close. And so they just are a much improved team.
Drew, coaches quite often say that sometimes it takes some refreshing the dynamic every week to make sure guys stay motivated. Is the message this week about winning an outright district title and going perfect in district play because you're going to be the top seed whether you're coming in the Division I bracket or Division II bracket going into the playoffs? So what's the message to the guys about what is there tangible to accomplish tonight?
Yeah, I think our message this week is just a perfect level of effort, and that's all we've been talking about all week, and then that will lead to good things for us. I think the guys set the goal in January of being undisputed district champion. They actually set the goal of that. We put it on paper. We post it everywhere so we can know what we're working for. We've shared it the last 2 years, and so they're pretty set on that goal, and they know that Westwood stands in the way, and they're a quality program, and so we're going to have to fight.
Drew, you're going to play either Bowie or Lake Travis in by district next week. Have you had your conversations and our arrangements all set for next week?
Yes, yeah. We get to host either way since we're the higher-ranked team. Now, some of the fans may not know that, but that's a kind of a 6A thing that started about 4 or 5 years ago. And so we'll host. It'll be at Monroe Memorial Stadium, 7 p.m. on November 11th, that Friday. Both coaches have agreed and feel great about that. We've even agreed on ref crew and everything else. So we are ready with both teams. So we're just kind of waiting to see what happens Friday. But first, you know, we got to obviously play our game, but just kind of waiting to see what happens with those three teams.
Nice to have it all wrapped up even before you play your last regular season game to know that A, you knew you were going to be playing the bi-district game at home, but no matter who the opponent is, that to have your day and time all set.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's great. Everything's organized. The band knows. I mean, there's a lot of moving parts that people may not think about that goes along with that, and everybody's excited to be hosting another game. I think we've hosted 4 or 5 years in a row, and it's always fun.
How convenient is it for you then to have your crew ready to be able to scout two teams at the same time because they're playing one another tomorrow night since your high district opponent will be either Bowie or Lake Travis, yeah, and they're playing tomorrow night? How convenient is that?
It's pretty rare. I think maybe one other time that's happened. And so you are burning up the pen on the paper because you're writing down every single piece of information you can get, because as soon as one's on offense, now here comes the other team on offense or whatever. It's really fun and real hectic, but, you know, we like it like that. So it's two amazing teams too. Bowie and Lake Travis are great programs.
All right. Drew, best of luck tonight, and we'll look forward to visiting with you on the eve of the bi-district game next week.
Can't wait. Thanks, guys.
All right.
Thanks,
that's Drew Sanders, head coach of the Vandegrift Vipers. And again, you can hear it on 101.9 and AM 1260 tonight, 6:45 with the airtime start, and with Merle and Scott and Hank in the booth. And at 7 o'clock, the kickoff from Kelly Reeves Athletics Complex, the Palace on Parmer, or as Snoop likes to occasionally refer to it, K-Rac. It's Vandegrift against Westwood.
So does LT and Bowie just keep it super vanilla?
Well, it's an interesting. It's interesting because, you know, both teams want to have that momentum of a win. I think you got to get ready for the playoffs, and you're playing a team that's going into the playoffs, so you're getting a good warm up game, so to speak. You know, coaches get huddle video and footage and stuff. They're going to see your tendencies and the things that you do anyway.
Yeah.
I think both. Look, you know Coach Abels, you know Coach Carter. You think they're going to be playing vanilla? I think they're going after to try to win the game. You know, Lake Travis has never lost to Bowie.
Bowie would love to get back on the horse after losing to Westlake.
Exactly. No, I think they're going for that one. They want to win. All right. That's our weekly conversation with Coach Sanders from Vandegrift, brought to you by Texas Truck and Trailer. Time for our first hour, Longhorn Notebook.
How's Longhorn Notebook?
How's Longhorn Notebook?
Jeff, how's Longhorn Notebook?
Getting me. Slight misfire.
You know what? You can give him a horn to go with that.
Okay,
you should give him a horn. Yeah, there you go.
Jeff,
thank you.
How's Longhorn Notebook?
You know, Craig missed the Vuvuzela. He hasn't had it in a while. So.
It's brought to you by Aaron Bowersock, the home loan expert, your Longhorn lender. See if Aaron can do for you what she did for Linda and me, and that's help get that home loan approval turned around just like that. She is, after all, the person who can guarantee that 10-day home loan approval. Check her out on the web at bowersockteam.com. B-O-W-E-R-S-O-C-K. Bowersockteam.com.
I'll start with you, Craig. You recorded Longhorn Weekly with Sark last night.
Yes, I did.
We'll talk to the head coach here in 30, 35 minutes or so. On the weekly Zoom call.
And we'll have the program tonight. We'll have Longhorn Weekly with Coach Sark tonight, which
Blitz
we recorded
podcast,
last night. At
Longhorn Blitz podcast immediately following.
Lots of Longhorn football discussion tonight on the horn.
No doubt. Anything top of mind for you coming off of Longhorn Weekly?
I would say that that old thing about unstoppable force, immovable object, neither Texas on offense is an unstoppable force, nor Kansas State an immovable object on defense. However, if you're boiling it down to the run games, from the news conferences and from reading and hearing, we had Wyatt Thompson on yesterday talking about this, there is a real jaw-setting, teeth-gritting determination, I think, that goes into this game for Texas to run the ball and for Kansas State to stop the run when you consider what the Longhorns did on the ground at K-State each of the last 2 years.
Well, not just that, Craig. You look at this nice little win streak now Texas has against K-State, winning five in a row, the last two under Bill Snyder and three under Chris Klieman. Texas has won the rushing battle in four of those five games. The one exception was last year. K-State went for 228, but Texas went for 209, but it was a physical 209. Because of the nature of the Texas offense, with Casey Thompson with the bump thumb, you ran forget Wildcat. You were just direct snapping to Roshan Johnson, kind of old school, almost single wing football.
It's like trying to stop us.
Yeah, exactly. You kind of knew what was coming at some point, and Roshan Johnson carried the offense to the finish line. So Texas in this game, and that's kind of been the story of this series. It's very, very Oklahoma-like for Texas over the years. The K-State series has been whoever the more physical football team is typically the team that's going to win the ballgame. And turnovers play a big deal. I know, Craig, the win coming off of the Flint Hills on Saturday is always a factor when you play in Manhattan. We talked about the wind in Stillwater. I don't care if it could be 80 and sunny out. The wind's always going to be a factor when you play in Manhattan.
Yeah,
it's kind of like going to Lubbock.
You're right. More in the daytime than in the evening, but still windy.
Exactly.
It could still be. I mean, it reminds me of the Bill Little told me the story years ago that Coach Royal had said to him about when they were getting ready to play Texas Tech, and Tech had just gone into the conference there in 1960, and they were getting ready to go out there for the first time under Coach Royal. And he said it was the old Seminole Indian who told him the wind lays in the evening or something like that. And so it may lay down just a little bit in the evening, but I don't listen. What was it, 13 when Colin Klein was quarterbacking when they were winning the conference title?
12.
12. And they won that conference title there on that Saturday. It was galing there at Bill Snyder Family Stadium that night when Kansas State won that conference title.
Certainly was. So we'll get into the keys to victory. We'll talk run game and stuff tomorrow. We got our matchups tomorrow in our two Longhorn notebooks. But wanted to hit some quick notes. And, Craig, I want to get your take on one of these. A quick injury update. So, again, this is in our Insider Horns 24/7. I won't run everything down that's in the Insider. You can go to the site and check it out. But a quick injury update. Ryan Watts has practiced. Again, I'm going to preface everything by saying as of close of business yesterday, this is where things stood. Sounds like Ryan Watts should be good to go, barring any kind of setback. He has made some nice progress this week. Jalen Gilbo, kind of limited earlier in the week, but he's got an ankle injury, so probably somewhere in the – we'll call Jalen Gilbo iffy at this point. But if Ryan Watts is healthy, Jadae Barron's at the star position, so you feel like regardless you're going to be good there. The question mark out of is Anthony Cook. It just seems uncertain right now if he can play with that arm injury or if they want to give it another week or what. So things very much up in the air at this point in terms of Anthony Cook and the status. I'm going to go ahead and guess Sark's not going to give us a whole lot on the injury front on the Zoom call, but that's just kind of what we're hearing at this point. So, again, as of the way things stood at the close of business yesterday, it sounds like Ryan Watts making really good progress, Jalen Gilboa iffy, and if you had to use like an NFL-style injury report, I would say doubtful at this point for Anthony Cook, but we'll see as we get closer to the end. Craig, the thing I wanted to get your take on is, and we mentioned this in the Insider, that this team has not been fractured. You talked about, you know, they had a couple of players-only meetings, but it seems like, and this is according to a team source, this team genuinely likes each other, and they're trying to figure things out together. Quote, pretty much in every position room, you've got guys supporting each other and pulling for each other. Especially last year when we started hearing about things getting fractured and all that stuff, and we've seen Texas teams in the past kind of do that and get splintered when the losses start to pile up. I have not heard any of that behind the scenes with this team. It seems like this team is truly together. They genuinely like being with each other. Craig, that makes a big deal when you're trying to get over that hump as long as you're getting. Now, I'll say this. That's another aspect that makes this game so important because I think it's human nature. You can only kind of get on the cusp so much and not clear that hurdle before it starts to set in and things do kind of come unraveled. So for this team to get to where they want, that's why it puts so much more emphasis on this game and winning this ball game, because they haven't fractured, they haven't been splintered. They're still very much intent on trying to figure this thing out together and get it done together and get over that hump together.
Yeah, you're right. I think you've nailed it about how this team kind of is cohesive, and they do. But it doesn't mean they can't go back in and have, you know, refreshing or refresher courses in terms of the team meeting, because
I've never hadn't heard anybody put it that way. That's a really good way to put it.
The refresher?
Yeah.
I mean, because I understand why folks think a players only meeting sends up red flags. I get it, because quite often in the past, that's all it meant. I mean, team was unraveling. It's a different day and time now in college football, and it's a different with this group as well, where they get together, and it's kind of like, you know, when you go to work and you have a conference call, and we were all introduced to the world of Zoom over the prior 2 years about it, keeping regular touch with one another. So, you know, I think it's more that. It's not like we've got to get out and clear the air and what did you say, airing of grievances and all that other kind of stuff.
It can turn into Festivus real quick if you're not careful.
Yeah, and I don't think that's the same with this group. So it was a good point. But that doesn't mean there aren't things to address, and that's what they've kind of been working toward this week.
Well, we'll get, you know, that's just kind of an overview of where the team is right now, some injury stuff. We'll get into the nitty-gritty tomorrow when we look at our matchups and our keys to a Longhorn victory. Also in the Insider, got some basketball stuff. Season opener's on Monday.
Yes,
Got some hoop stuff, all kinds of good stuff at Horns 24/7 right now.
We'll look forward to that. So
staff predictions should be posted. I know I sent mine in this morning, so those should be up here in a little bit also.
All right, there's our Longhorn Notebook for this hour. We'll have another one coming up next hour. Up next, Inconceivable, when we continue with Light the Tower on the Horn, 104.9, 101.9 AM 1260. We're live, local, and digital on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.
Hi, I'm Brad with Homes by Avi.
And I'm Aaron Bowersock.
We are currently offering incredible incentives at all of our communities across the Austin area.
To learn...
It means variety. What was that, Stu? That's something going on there. Is that something going on? Okay. All right. I don't know. I'm not sure what it was, but that's okay.
Who is that?
All right.
Can I start Inconceivable with a grooming complaint or inquiry? I think I'm at the age where I need to start regularly trimming my nose hairs.
Yeah,
because, like, if you're watching on Twitch the last couple of days, it's looked like, is Jeff picking his nose? Like, no, I can feel my nose hair in there, like... It's giving me some issues. I'm constantly rubbing my nose.
Well, you just rip them out.
You know, I do that on occasion.
Says the guy with probably the lowest pain tolerance of any person I've ever met.
Right?
Yes. Correct.
I do have a beard trimmer that's got an attachment that can root around in your nose. Yeah.
Especially as you get older, Jeff, like the hairs are going to turn white and that really looks, you know. It looks
at yeah, okay.
That's fine, though, you know.
Need to get on that, make that a regular part of the manscaping process.
This nose hair update brought to you by Jeff Howe and Snoop Daniel. Okay.
Sponsor us.
There you go, right. Snoop, here's your fast food note for you.
Hey, I had a McRib yesterday, by the way.
You really?
Yeah, had one for lunch.
Because today is National Sandwich Day.
I thought that was yesterday.
No, it's today. It's actually November 3rd. Yesterday in the story, I said tomorrow is National Sandwich Day. So you just beat the holiday rush.
Sandwich.
That's it.
How was it?
Awesome.
It was a McRib.
It was a McRib, of course. It's greatness.
Well, it was hot.
Yes. And the fries were hot.
Oh, okay. You win, bro.
Yeah.
$1 Friday in the app, Snoop, for you at McDonald's. Just letting you know that. Meanwhile, the guys at Five Guys are wanting customers to stop doing a menu hack that's been pretty popular with them. They're kind of making their own grilled cheese cheeseburger, okay? Now, Sonic had one of those where it was an actual grilled cheese sandwich with a cheeseburger in it. And this, of course, is generated on TikTok, Snoop, where Five Guys employees were getting pretty upset with folks coming in for this grilled cheese cheeseburger hack. So the person comes in and they order a grilled cheese, and then they order a patty added to it, and then they order another patty to it, because the grilled cheese is a staple menu item, and then it's possible to add a patty to it through the online ordering system, and the menu item has been an option available for some time. But there's some folks, one guy says on TikTok, "Hold up now, because I'm really getting mad. Whoever told y'all to be ordering these grilled cheese cheeseburgers, I need y'all to stop.
No.
I need to put it to an end. To an end. I'm sorry, but please stop." So
no.
That sounds incredible. I've never even thought of doing that.
That's why when you go to Whataburger, you opt for the Texas toast.
It's a good call.
Yeah.
It's a good call there. So you could do that.
These are hacks.
All right. Yeah, the menu hacks there. How about a hack on sneakers? You can now order a pair of sneakers. They're very special. I'm going to show them to you because I know you're into the sneakers as well, Jack.
I just need the Jordan brand to make a wide shoe so I can actually wear some Jordans again.
Well, this one's pretty wide. This one's pretty wide, and it costs $1,200.
Oh, my God.
Because they're for horses. So,
okay. And then the song did that clop, 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 clop.
Yeah. Yeah. It's actual a sneaker made for horses. Marcus Floyd, a Kentucky-based artist, started developing the prototype for a horse sneaker as part of a collaboration with VisitLex.com. That's Lexington's public tourism agency in Lexington, Kentucky. They then were working ahead of the Breeders' Cup, which is this weekend, the equestrian races. And their initiative was to bring awareness to the bluegrass state like Kentucky as a whole.
Just like envisioning the horse.
Yeah.
Snoop, you envision the horse like going to Foot Locker?
See right there.
Here we go.
Right there.
Animals doing human things.
You're still trying to get Chris Beard on board with that, right?
I think he's coming around.
Okay. All right. Constructing each set of shoes takes as long as 17 hours, according to Floyd. He started with buying the sneakers themselves like a pair of classic Air Jordans. Then he deconstructed them, carefully pulling apart each piece before reassembling the sneaker on top of a pre-made protective boot for horses. He was striving to keep the design accurate while also adjusting for the shape of a horse's ankle and hoof. And yes, they say the sneakers are actually wearable. They've been auctioned off at the Sneaker Ball, a fundraiser event for charities in Central Kentucky. They will be coming up next week. So, you can commission sneakers from his venture, Horse Kicks. Okay? Prices start around $1,200, depending on the complexity of the design. So, you got a horse and you're thinking about some new kicks for it, that's the route you want to go.
That's your answer. Some Jordan horse hooves.
Yeah.
Nike.
Yeah. It is not unusual to have beauty pageant winners make headlines after they've already won the contest for good and or perhaps not good
reasons. Does the horse get mad if they're the wrong kind of Jordan, Snoop?
Yes.
Probably.